We heard you while you were still in the office, and you said, "Does this look good on me?"
The Lord speaking earlier said, "Is it on? It's on." Okay, I'm gonna put my hat up here. Let's take a vote this morning. Should I wear my hat? Okay, Crank. No, that's exactly why I didn't do it. I had a good hair day today. I was gonna wear my hat, and I looked in the mirror and I said, "I'm too cute to wear that today." No, I'm joking. I'm just gonna sit it right there. Oasis Church, I am branded up. Avante, Pastor, so good to have you here. And I had no idea he'd be here. He's got all kind of logo on him from his church, all that kind of stuff. But I did this on purpose today. I'm normally not this casual when I travel out. We're kind of casual at home because our pastor is 24 and I am just an old. I'm finding out every day how old I am. I'm reminded constantly how old I am. But then I come here and am reminded that your pastor's older than me. Well, glory. But I heard that Pastor Peyton's been reminded him of that as well. So it's just, we just get in that season of life. But before I do anything that I feel, I just want to thank you. And if you're new here, you're guest here, or you may not even know, but this church, say this church, because of a pastor who trusts people, and there's been times when I was here and he said, "Hey, we're going to sow as a church, but if God speaks to you and you want to give to the Subers and what God's doing, sow into their life." And some of you have partnered with us for years. This church, when we looked at everything, has given more to finance and to launch Oasis Church than any other church relationship. And we're in relationship. There are churches that run 10 and 12,000 that have helped support us. But there's a big difference between $500-$600 and over $25,000. And Oasis and you people that are here as a part of the Harbor have joined together. And we're simply, I told him when Pastor was there and we just honored him and at our birthday, our birthday celebration, we had two people under 500 when Pastor was there with us for two services. And I counted up over 50 adults that were not there because of working and all that kind of stuff. So starting in 2 weeks, the week after Super Bowl, because I'm just going to tell you right now, I'm not going to fight the Super Bowl. So the week after Super Bowl, we're starting our third service because we see, I think, almost exactly what you guys see. Starting our third, amen, amen. And we're 15 months old. And if you take giving units means that people that actually put something and write their name down that actually give on a week. If you take adults that are giving units, we have over 600 people that are part of Oasis Church. On any given week, there's somewhere between 425 to 475, because then you take, okay, they're sick, they should be here, whatever. But that's in 15 months. And I just want to stand here as, that's why I kind of wore the hat and whatever. You may not even care, but I think it's a pretty big deal that a church in Hammond, USA has joined together to plant a church in Austin, Texas. And that I was able, 2 weeks ago, we were able to send a check home with the girls. We sent our first $1,000 back to sow into Mexico and the vision of your pastor. And now we're going to start sowing back into the Harbor in 15 months. Look at somebody say, "That's the kingdom." That's how the kingdom. You talk about fivefold ministry. You talk about apostles and prophets. You talk about all this kind of stuff. A lot of people talk it. I love that this pastor, this apostle, this staff. It's so crazy today because we got apostles, pastors, prophets, teachers all in this room today. And the fivefold ministry working together without one person worrying about the credit and all that kind of stuff. So it's absolutely incredible. So I think you need to give yourself a hand that you just birthed a baby church. Amen. And it's just exciting times for us. I've got notes today, paper notes today. I'm going to tell you why. I came prepared because I preach a lot and I used to travel out a lot. I still travel some, but we're in a series and I was actually going to come in and I just had it, man, I had it together. But we've been on this fast and prayer season like you have and coming early morning to the church. And beginning about Wednesday, the Lord began to speak to me. And I knew when that happens, I knew that I was carrying something to be released. It's really not a sermon. It's really more of a concept or maybe more of a healing moment, but it's something to be released in the atmosphere. Then when Pastor got up here a few moments ago, you could just feel and sense what God is doing in this room. The word that come to me this morning about 4 o'clock in the morning, and I almost had to, you know, go get on Netflix and find some old Viking movie or some Roman war movie or whatever, because the term that come to me was shields up. Never preached this in my life. Shields up. And so when I finally rolled out of bed about 6:15 and said, okay, Lord, what in the world is Shields up? He began to stir me. And I'm going to go in a moment. We're going to read Ephesians chapter 6. But he began to stir me that where God is taking you and taking the harbor right now, say where God is taking us, is going to demand extreme faith. There is about to be a release and an activation of extreme faith upon this house. You cannot have extreme faith when you're operating from defective and faulty faith. Does that make sense to anybody? You cannot have extreme faith. And as I was praying for you, I'm just going to tell you what the Holy Spirit was saying. He said, before they can step into this season of extreme faith, I have to repair and restore and reactivate their faith. Because there are people that I'm preaching to today that have wounded faith. You have chipped faith. You have been in the battle. You have used your shield. And your shield has full of potholes. It's full of arrows sticking out of it. And you have been, who am I talking to that's been in the battle? You have prayed. Now your husband's saved. You prayed and now your kids are saved. You prayed and a miracle has happened. Or maybe you prayed and the miracle hasn't happened. And so you come in and there's all this stuff going on in the spirit realm right now. I don't know if I've ever been more excited to be a part of the kingdom right now. There are miracles happening every day. We get reports every day from China, angels showing up in prisons and releasing pastors from, I'm talking about angels showing up and maximum security cells opening. And then we see it on these reports. Yeah, Pastor so-and-so was scheduled for execution, but he walked out of the jail cell, just like the Bible said, walks out by angelic visitation. We hear stories, and I hear it all the time from our ministry, stage 4, stage 5 cancer, where the doctor says it's impossible. All of a sudden they send you, I got one this week, a doctor's report that said, we do not understand it. You were dying 6 months ago. There is not a cancer cell in your body today. You are completely healed. Somebody say, faith. By faith, through faith, in faith. We see this all the time, that I'm a faith preacher, but before I can talk about faith and going forward, I believe at the harbor, maybe I'm off base, but I'm talking to somebody right now. God wants to restore your faith. He wants to repair your faith. And he wants to activate your faith. And I'm going to talk about that for a few minutes today. I want you to go in the Word and just go ahead and go jump into Ephesians chapter 6. I'm reading the New Living Translation. Then we'll go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. And it talks about, a lot of times when we talk about this, we talk about spiritual warfare. Say spiritual warfare. I've taught on spiritual warfare. It's amazing, the older you get, you still study. I've taught on spiritual warfare for over 30 years. Here's the thing. The term spiritual warfare is not in the Bible. And even though it's not in the Bible, I have used Colossians and I've used 1 Corinthians 10 and I have used Ephesians 6. I have used that to say, no, but the context of spiritual warfare is in the Bible. And so I still teach spiritual warfare in a context because the concept is in the Bible. But the Lord corrected me about 3 months ago. He said, it is not in the Bible. Progressive victory is in the Bible.
Right.
We go from glory to glory to victory to victory. He said, there is a battle going on, but there is no war going on. The war was settled at Calvary. When I said it is finished, it was finished. And just because you're in a skirmish doesn't mean that you're in a war. And so when we read the scriptures of battle and of faith and of what we would call attack, is it really attack or is it promotion? Is it really, that, like the old church used to say, we actually had a woman in Camden, Arkansas. This is the God's truth. She got up and testified and for about 20 minutes told us everything negative possible you could think about. And then at the end of it said, the devil's been after me all day. Bless his holy name. She meant to say, you know, God's holy name, but she just was so negative. The devil's been after me all day. Bless his holy name. And after church, Dad, boy, he was furious. We got in the truck. He said, that's exactly right. She spent 20 minutes praising the devil for all the negative things that were happening in her life when she should have just stood up and said, great is the Lord. He is greatly to be praised. I will enter into his courts with thanksgiving, into his gates with praise. Somebody ought to get happy about that because we are operating from a position of a victory. If you are seated with Christ in heavenly places, you are living as a believer operating from a position of victory. Does that make sense to anybody? So now we read it from a different perspective of Ephesians chapter 6, and let's go verse 13. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so that you'll be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Now, he didn't say that you are going to do anything other than to resist the enemy. Say resist. There are so many of us that think spiritual victory and all this activity in the spiritual realm. We make it so superficial, but it's really not. All you got to do is stand, and when the enemy hits you, when the enemy hits your shield, it falls off. You are resisting the enemy. Resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Stand your ground. I love it how this translation said, putting on the belt of truth, the body armor of God's righteousness for shoes, put on the peace that comes from God, the good news, so that you will be fully prepared. In addition to all these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. I want to talk just a little bit about repairing the shield of faith and about this concept of a faulty shield. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 10. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 10. We'll go back to verse 5 in a moment. This is what Paul said, night and day. And I love that song that we were singing last night. Night and day, let worship rise. Day and night, night and day, let worship rise. I love that. But this said, night and day, praying exceedingly that we may see your face and perfect what is lacking in your faith. I looked up the Greek word there, lacking, and here's what it means. It means defect in a part causing the whole not to function as well. Inadequate, insufficient, incomplete, a deficiency. That I am coming to you, I can't wait to get to you so that I can perfect the inadequacy that is in your faith. As I was praying this morning, and I don't know, Peyton, if this even makes sense, but I was praying. I said, Lord, what are you showing me? And he immediately took my mind and my concept to Ezekiel, to the valley of dry bones. And when God began to tell the prophet to begin to prophesy, and many of you know the story. If you don't know the story, it's a prophecy of Israel coming together. The bones are scattered in the valley, and the wind begins to blow. And as the wind begins to blow, it begins to connect the joints, it begins to connect the bones. And the Lord spoke to me and said, I am connecting people who have been disjointed, who have been dismembered and have been separated. I am connecting people in the army of this region that hadn't even talked to each other in years. I'm connecting people that don't know each other. I'm connecting people that thought one another were backslid. But in this season, I am reconnecting an army that has been dismembered, that has been scattered. I'm bringing people back to churches that have left over whatever reason, but the wind is beginning to blow and their primary call is still the same. So I am bringing them back together as the wind is remembering them, as I said last night, as he is mantling them back together and putting, there is a spirit of unity. There is a spirit of revival. So the wind began to blow. Not only did the wind blow, but then flesh began to come upon them and bone upon bone and then sinew and then flesh. And he began to flesh them out until there was a mighty armor of God. And he said, speak. And the breath of God went into them and they arose a mighty army. And the Lord spoke to me and said, there is a mighty army that is beginning to arise in this region. We saw it last night. There is a mighty army. But he said, before I release them into what I am calling them to do, we have to restore their shields, because many of them are coming from circumstances that has wounded their faith. And although they feel the wind of the Spirit, their shields are faulty and are torn and are tarnished. They have been disappointed. They have been disenfranchised. They have been wounded. They are living in delayed expectation and miracles, and they have the wind of the Spirit. They have been activated. They have been joined together. They have unity. They have repented. They are in my presence. They are pure. Their motive is pure. But to go where I'm taking them, I have to restore their faith. And I have to create a hunger in them that even though you were disappointed in one area of your life, of your ministry, of your calling, even though you have lived in a season of disappointment, the Holy Spirit is saying, for you to go where I'm about to take you, I have to restore your faith. You can no longer have defective faith. And who am I talking to in this room? That things have happened to you, that you were in the will of God, but you were in the battle. This is how I do when I get something. So this morning I got up, got on my iPad, went downstairs, tried to get some coffee. But what I understand, they don't start serving coffee until right at 7 o'clock. So I had to wait until 7 o'clock until I could get some coffee. So I'm sitting there trying to pray, but I still kind of have a bad mood because I hadn't had my coffee yet. And so I get my iPad and I'm Googling Shields Up. And I'm like, what does this mean or whatever? And Shields Up is actually the word that is spoken that once the arrows from the enemy are released, that was the command that the Roman soldier and centurion would give, that as the arrows, they don't even say it until they see the arrow, but once the arrows are in the air, then they say shield up. And as the shields go up, they go up as one. The Romans were so trained that they moved as one man, and as they would raise as one man, it would become an impenetrable wall, and the arrows, the fiery darts, the arrows would hit the shield. But here's the thing, the shield would absorb the arrow. And we're not talking about cowboys and Indians. We're talking about way back there. We're talking about metal tarnished shields. We're talking about Romans and Vikings and all this kind of stuff you like to watch on the History Channel. But there is a point that the arrow could only absorb so many, the shield could only absorb so many arrows to where the shield would become heavy because of the arrows. 50, 60 arrows would stick into one shield, and there would come a point to where they could no longer hold the shield because of the weight of the arrows it was blocking. Who am I preaching to today that the Holy Spirit woke me up this morning to say, you have been faithful. You have heard the voice of God. You have been in unity. You have the right spirit. You are on the front line. But there comes a point where you can only absorb so many arrows. You can only absorb so many wounds, so many disappointments, so many diagnoses, so many bad paychecks, so many faulty investments, so many relationships walking out of your life. And even though you know you're in the will of God, even though you know God has called you, chosen you, presented you, you can't help but begin to feel the weight of the load and begin to feel the weight of the arrow that is beginning to pull you down. And they said that was the most dangerous point of the battle, is when your shield become defective because of the weight of the attack and you could no longer hold up the shield. There are people that I am preaching to today that God is about to take you into finances. He's taking you into relationships that are going to change your life. He is taking you into miracles in the street. There are many of you that are hungry as we are hungry, and we're seeing it in Austin. Every service we're talking about people walking by and miracles happening. This week we had somebody on the street yesterday that was a drug addict, that they cast demonic spirits out of him and he was baptized with the Holy Spirit under the bridge. We fed over 250 homeless people yesterday. They texted me last night and said we had 25 volunteers laying hands on people under the bridge. Most of them are ex-gangbangers that have been saved under a year, and we are hungry to take miracles to the street. But in our pursuit of the future, sometimes you got to stop long enough. And I was praying about coming into the harbor because this is one of my favorite churches, and you love me, I love you, and I don't have to preach good here. I can just get up here and say, Mary had a little lamb. God said his fleece was white as snow. Lord, I can just call two or three of you up here and blow up your nose and you'll fall on the floor and, you know, have a few miracles and jerk on you a little bit, pop you, give you a massage, pop it out, you know, straighten it up. Hey, do all this kind of stuff. Have Papa Ron come up here, give a prophetic decree, and you'll leave going, woo, wasn't that a great service? That was wonderful, man. That was a great move of God. But the Holy Spirit has spoken to me as a friend, as an overseer, that there is something so huge coming up for you. There is something so big. I know you've been in about a 2-year season where you were recouping from the last miracle. You were recouping from the last vision. We stepped out and God did incredible things, but there's been a season here where there have been the arrows of the enemy. There has been fatigue. Who am I talking to? There has been spiritual fatigue. There has been questions. There have been wounds, and some of it is legitimate. It's not the enemy. It is simply the physical fatigue that comes from trying to hold the shield of faith up and trying to stay in formation. But am I preaching to anybody that says my shield is getting heavy? Am I preaching to anybody that says it's hard for me to even imagine doing more when I'm exhausted from what I've already done? What am I talking about? I got one sister over here. Is there anybody else? It is hard for me to imagine praying more when I'm already praying more than I've ever prayed in my life. It's hard for me to imagine giving more when I'm broker now than I was before I started. It's hard for me to believe for relationships because every time I trust, I get wounded and somebody disappoints me and walks out of my life. It's hard for me to have faith when every time I have faith, what I'm praying for goes backwards instead of forwards. And yet the word of the Lord is inside of you saying, keep pushing, get up and keep pushing, get up and keep pushing, because there's a victory coming, there's a revival coming, there's a harvest coming, there's a manifestation coming, there's a region-wide anointing that is beginning to stir in this atmosphere. But if the soldiers that are being called into battle have faulty, defective, wounded shields, there's holes. Look at somebody said, there's holes in your shield. There's cracks in your shield. Because once they pluck the arrows out, once you have fought with the arrow, then here comes the horses. And once the horses begin to come at you, they're carrying the heavy javelin and the heavy spear. The javelin and the spear were strong enough to penetrate the shield and to even penetrate the armor. So once you get over the arrows and the armor bearer comes, and they didn't have time to pluck them out, Michelle. So an armor bearer carried a heavy sword, and they would run up and literally cut the arrows to where the barbs, oh, I feel like preaching here, the points of the arrow is still in the shield. The metal part of the arrow is still in the shield, but they don't have time to pull them out, so they just cut off the wooden part. They just cut off the shaft part, but it's still in the shield, but it didn't get to you. There's some of you that are confusing your shield with your heart. Your heart hasn't been penetrated. It stopped at your shield. That's why you have to activate your faith. You're confusing your emotion with your reality. God hasn't let it get to you, even though your shield's heavy, even though your shield is chipped and tarnished. It hasn't got to you. You wouldn't be here if it had gotten to you yet. And some of you are like, oh, Pastor, you don't understand. You talk about victory to victory. I feel like, oh, hell, no, you wouldn't be here. Faith has brought you this far. Faith has kept you this far. But there is a season of tarnished, defective faith. And Paul said, I've got to get to you, and I've got to check out your shield. I've got to check out your faith and make sure that your faith is not defective before you go into your next and what God is calling you to be. And then once they would stand and be able to withstand, even though when that spear would come, it would many times knock them over. And I know I'm not the only one that watches TV, okay? But have you ever watched some of those epic battles? Have you ever watched, even though they're reenactments, when someone is on the horse and they have the spear, that even if they stop it, even if the shield stop it, the force of the blow is strong enough to knock them on the ground. And they are not wounded, but they have the breath knocked out of them. Who am I preaching to? That the enemy was not able to take you out, but he took you down. He was not able to take your life, but he took your breath. For a moment you're stunned because I didn't understand the weight of the opposition, but you still got your breath. Get up and pick up your shield. Get up and pick up the shield and get ready, because the second onslaught is coming. And then once they could resist the barb of the spear and the load of the shaft, then, only then, once the arrows were deployed, then when the horsemen and the cavalry came, and then there is the spear. Only after the spear had been launched on the horses, then came the footmen. And as they begin to run with the sword, they would begin to take out the sword. And then that is when the commander would say one more time, shields up. At that point was the scariest time, because the arrows have already come. The spear has already come. But now here comes hand-to-hand combat. And I cannot stand here without my shield up. So even if my shield is chipped, even if my shield has holes in it, even if it is so bent that it has enclaved in me and knocked me down, I have to stand up and get my breath back. I have to stand up and get my wits back and put shields. Am I preaching to anybody that you have had your breath knocked out of you? You have had the wind knocked out of you. You have had hope knocked out of you. It's amazing to me that people confuse faith and hope. Faith is trusting when you've lost hope. And there are people in this room that, yes, there's a next. There's an incredible next in your life. Yes. But you have to admit to one another and to me,
Your shield has gotten heavy. Your shield has gotten chipped. Your shield has gotten tarnished. Who am I? Does that make sense to anybody? So I begin to go through some things. Let's just talk about this, a few arrows of the assault. Discouragement, say discouragement. Confusion, bitterness, indifference, fear, anxieties, lust, evil thought, and doubt. These are the results of a faulty shield. I want to go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 5. I'm going to read a couple of translations. I think this will make sense. Here's what he said before he gets to verse 10. Night and day I'm praying that I can come and make sure and find out where your faulty shield is. But he said, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means, just stop with me. He said, I sent to know your faith, lest by some tempter, by some means the tempter had tempted you and our labor might be in vain. Let me read the Amplified, the Joyce Meyer Amplified. All you ladies, anybody like Joyce Meyer? That'll make me sound spiritual. Thank you. Okay, here we go. Here's what Joyce Meyer's translation said. How you were standing the strain. I had to check, Pastor, how you were standing the strain. Stretching, overtaxing, overstretching, exertion, struggle, pain, travail, and endurance to your faith. The Weymouth translation said, I have to know the true condition of your faith. And that's what I feel the Holy Spirit has sent me today apostolically to ask you, what is the condition of your faith? Do you really have the faith to believe that a miracle can be released in your body right now? Do you really have a faith to believe that your spouse can be saved in spite of everything they've done? Do you really believe that the prophetic words of the Lord over this church are actually possible to come to pass? Do you really believe that this region is rising as a mighty army? Do you really believe that we are entering into a season of miracles, signs, and wonders? Would you raise your hands right now? I just want you by your hands raised as you begin to pray, eyes closed. I'm speaking to you and I'm asking you right now, how's your faith? I'm asking you right now, how is your faith? Do you have weak faith? Do you have lost faith? Do you have disillusioned faith? Do you have disappointed faith? How is your faith? With your mouth open, would you just begin to pray with me for a moment? Because here's what the scripture says. Paul told Timothy, stir up the gift. Stir up the gift that is already in you by the laying on of hands. I just speak to you right now. There's people in this room, as I've been talking, I've seen tears flow. As I've been speaking to you, I'm watching some of you that are saying, yes, Pastor, you're talking to me. I need help with my faith. I need help with my belief system. It is hard for me. Who is it? Wave at me if I'm talking. It's hard for me to believe what God is saying over me. It is hard for me to even hear what heaven is saying over me because I am tired with the weight of the load. I have been disillusioned. I have been wounded. I've had the breath knocked out of me. I've had holes in my shield. I have had so many arrows I couldn't even pick it up anymore. I haven't even been able to meet the onslaught. And Paul said, I know that's possible, so I'm coming to you and I got to check you out and I got to make sure that your shield is not defective before you go into this next wave, before you go into this next miracle, into this next battle, into this next breakthrough, into this next career, into this next job, into this next relationship. I have to check on your faith, because here's what Jesus looked at Peter. Jesus, who is the master builder, the chief apostle, looked at Peter as the chief apostle and said, I pray that your faith fails you not. Do you know what the literal translation of that is? I pray that your faith doesn't wear out by way of use. Did you know that was in there? I pray that your faith doesn't wear out by way of use. I know there's people of all different dimensions and types in this room today, but I'm speaking to somebody that your faith is almost wore out by reason of use. You have held on to one word. You have held on to one dream, one promise. You have held on to one report, one prophecy, one miracle. If that's you, I want you to stand right now. Your faith is almost wore out. You are standing here today admitting, my faith has been wounded. I am disillusioned. I am exhausted. I have questions that I cannot answer, but I have stood anyway. I have been in the battle. Keep standing. That's beautiful. Keep standing. That's absolutely incredible. And Jesus is speaking to you just like he called out his favored Peter and said, I'm praying that your faith doesn't wear out by way of use. I'm praying that after all these years of hearing and knowing in church and religion and all these other areas, don't let your shield get so heavy and torn and tarnished and cut and battered that you're not able to lift it in the evil day. Because here's what he calls, what we call spiritual warfare, what we call victory to victory, is actually all I'm asking you to do is be able to stand. And when you've done all, stand therefore. And the only way that you can stand is with your shield up. Keep your hands up right now. Release the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is in this room right now. The Holy Spirit is moving. If you guys just want to come, the Holy Spirit is beginning to move and manifest in this room right now. And I'm speaking to you, shields up. I'm speaking to you that you don't have time to retreat. You don't have time to go back. You don't have time to go get in the tent and hide. You don't have time to regroup. You don't have time to retreat. Shields up. So good. Say, Pastor, you don't understand. It's going to take me years to get back. No. One moment in his presence. That's why we've been so focused on presence today. One moment in his presence. One millisecond in his presence. Thank you for standing right now. Thank you for allowing the tears to begin to flow right now. Shields up in Jesus' name.